Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to engage your intuition for a more balanced life. Today I welcome Maggie Latourelle, author of The Gift of Alzheimer's, which, as Neil Donald Walsh wrote in the foreword, a perfectly wonderful book that provides us with a window into the deepest aspects of this disease. Hello, Maggie, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Cheryl, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're most welcome. Maggie, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I share our personal and collective experiences as we awaken to all the possibilities available to us when we combine the dual nature of our energetic spiritual life with our physical needs to find unity within the laws of nature, man, and universal source. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Maggie, who is a psychotherapist, holistic healer, and author of Principles of Kinesiology, and has lectured at some of the UK's leading universities, originally trained as an art teacher, incorporated her many spiritual gifts, integrating them into a deeper awareness of our multidimensional life force. Maggie gives a moving account of her evolving relationship with her mother, who has Alzheimer's, and an understanding of the physical and emotional needs of people dealing with Alzheimer's. For my listeners, I recommend you check the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, and listen to other shows about Alzheimer's with Greg O'Brien, author of On Pluto, and Megan Carnarius, author of A Deeper Perspective on Alzheimer's, who share their amazing personal challenges, their resiliency, and a positively growing love of self, others, and life as a result of a disease which offered them opportunities for greater love and compassion to emerge. Maggie, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember an experience, fear, maybe a person or place or interest that allowed them to develop into the person they are today and to value the life, the work they do, and awareness they have now as an adult. So take a moment and go back to your inner child or earlier time in life and remember something.
Well, I grew up in a rather dysfunctional family. My mother had what would have been called postnatal depression. But back in those days, it wasn't diagnosed. And she also suffered from bipolar disorder, which meant that she had violent mood swings. And as a child, I was subjected to that. It meant that she and I had a very challenging relationship, and that remained difficult right up to the time when she developed Alzheimer's. But there was something about the challenges that I experienced as a child that led me into my own healing journey, and I did a lot of therapy work really to reconstruct my life in a more positive way. And I also found that I was energetically sensitive and trained as a healer. And I'd had a lifelong interest in spiritual things and consciousness, and started to develop that actively in my early 20s. So my personal journey, the development that I enjoyed, actually grew out of a lot of adversity.
Absolutely. We choose the family, the parents that we need to have the experience that the soul needs to grow in compassion and love and to a higher level of consciousness. And many healers, many people who are searching into metaphysical areas, have experienced difficult childhood. It's painful, the story you just told. And by the way, many people and mothers experience postpartum depression and other disorders, and their children do suffer greatly as a result. But we can survive anything if we learn to flow in a connection and alignment to spiritual energy and trust that there's more to this life and to us than can easily be seen. So it gives us that opportunity to dig deeper within ourselves to know our true potential. So thank you for telling us that story. Now, you go on to tell us what motivated you to write this book. A little later on, before your mother was diagnosed, you had another serious situation in your family. Can you tell us about that?
Are you referring to my sister?
I am.
Yes. My sister, my youngest sister, was an alcoholic from the age of 25. And she died of an alcohol-related illness before my mother developed Alzheimer's. There were only the two of us. So by the time my mother developed Alzheimer's, I was the only one left to care or to take on some responsibility. I also had an aging father, and something in me said that I wanted to make caring for my parents at the end of their lives my priority. I live in London. I had a very busy and full life, but I decided to park that to one side, at least to some extent, and to focus on my parents who were in Scotland. And I did that for a period of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it has actually been the most rewarding experience of my life, apart from when I had my child. It has changed my life.
Well, it's not only in the giving of love, but in the receiving of love, and the love that you receive from the universe and from your own soul in regard to this selfless love and attention you have for those who need it is a great gift, actually, and it is very rewarding. And people will only see it as a challenge often and say, how can you do this? But we will say, because we can. Isn't that the truth?
Yes, I want to.
Yes, we want to because we're able to, and it is the right thing to do. And actually, the world, the way it's suffering now, needs more people to assume that responsibility for doing things in a selfless way that perhaps are challenging, but in the end help everyone. Right. So can you give us a general outline of the book and perhaps share one story or chapter that was most special to you?
My book, The Gift of Alzheimer's, is divided into three sections. So the first section, the introduction, has a chapter called Event Horizon, which describes the transition from my mother living at home to going into a care home. There's then a chapter called Family Constellation, which gives an outline of each of the family members and the dynamics within the family. So it provides a really rich backdrop to the next part of the book, which is the heart and soul journey. And that is the heart of the book. And this is an edited transcript of 3.5 years of recorded conversations that I had with my mother when she had Alzheimer's, plus my commentary throughout as her daughter, as a psychotherapist, and as a healer, and some medical information as well. And within this section, Heart and Soul Journey, there's the introduction to our journey, so information about the care home and how our journey begins. And then a section on extraordinary healing treatments, which my mother experienced, and a description of her portal into the other world.
Yes, let's talk about that. Your mother talked about two worlds.
She
and if she wasn't aware of the other unseen world before her illness. She did become aware of it during that time, and how did she share that with you?
Well, this is one of the things that prompted me early on. She said one day, she said to me, it's difficult, she said, living, and then corrected herself and said, working between two worlds. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. A medical doctor would have said it's hallucination. You know, many people would have said this was just delusional. But knowing what I already knew, I was very curious and encouraged her to tell me more. And what was interesting, because she was so finely tuned at this stage, she knew that I knew what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. And the more I validated what she was telling me, the more she told me. And in her sojourns to the other world, she had lots of amazing experiences. And she said, we're learning we're immortal. Death is nothing to be afraid of. She talked about people who had performed operations on her mind, which I understood to be psychic surgery of some description.
Yes.
She described life reviews, but while she was here, she was having life reviews.
Yes, I have experienced that with some of my clients too. I did hospice work for 8 years, and I experienced much of what you experienced with your mother. And I especially like that she said, I will be around and I'll flutter around you. And as a medium and an intuitive, when I do readings for people and go into that energy, that's exactly what it feels like. It feels like a fluttering of energy around us. It's so engaging, it's so peaceful, it's so loving. I enjoy it so much. So that's the truth. Alzheimer's helped her move closer to the other side and allowed her to know the truth, that consciousness survives physical death. And this is what she was starting to show, and you were learning on this heart and soul journey. We are immortal, and I live in both those worlds very often, transcending one for the other as needed in order to help myself or others. So when I was trying to understand spiritual communication and messages received by mediums or highly intuitive sensitives, the words time and space kept coming into my thought, and this helped me to finally realize there is no time nor space. Everything is happening simultaneously, the past, the present, and the future, in the energy that we are all part of. So your mother was experiencing that. She was swirling within that energy, and the souls and forces of her past, present, and future were all there. And sometimes it's confusing to a person who's on medication or not feeling well. But in time, we all come to learn that this is just the way of the universe and energy, and we're all part of this energy. So tell us the story of late-stage Alzheimer's, and what do you think is happening when people get to this stage, and how can we see the positive nature of the experience?
Well,
your book is The Gift of Alzheimer's, and that's what we want to get to, the gift.
Yes, well, it is about late stage Alzheimer's. I don't discuss the earlier stages at all. And what seems to be happening is that as the physical body deteriorates and the structures that have, you know, held the you know, our sense of self start to drop away, it's as if the more subtle energies have a greater place. They come into their own, and this, I think, Alzheimer's demonstrates this very well, because I see Alzheimer's as a protracted end of life experience. I've had so many emails from people all over the world who've read my book and said, this is exactly what I've been experiencing too with my loved ones. And also people, when they're near the end of life, it just happens in a shorter period of time with them. But I think Alzheimer's provides us with a perfect vehicle for exploring conscious dying. And as I said, the subtle energies start to become, you know, more active. So as people lose their sense of self and their ego, you know, drops away, they also lose their sense of linear time. My mother said, I've no past, present, or future. And if you are in that state with no ego and without a sense of linear time, you're in a transcendental state. At least that's what I think. And
I think you're absolutely correct. And I also think when your mother got to that late stage in these understandings, she found a great deal of peace and calm. Isn't that so?
She did. She said, I'm at peace. I have no worries, no fear. Now, this is somebody who had suffered from one nervous breakdown after another throughout her adult life. She was in a perpetual state of fear. But in this, once she connected with the other world, she lost all that fear, and she had no fear of death.
Yes, I know that you wrote that, and that is absolutely the truth. We wish that more people were able to grasp this, that you couldn't enjoy your life more when you give up the energy and fear of dying, because dying is just a transition from one form, like water. Water can be ice, which is solid. It can be liquid as it changes. And then it can be vapor, but it is the still content, the same content or essence. And that's what we are as souls. So go on to tell us more about your work as an energy healer and the use of kinesiology.
Yes. Well, I work as a holistic therapist, so people come to me with a whole variety of issues, some of them physical, some of them emotional, and I don't see a separation between, you know, the mental, emotional, and the physical and energy. To me, they're all interconnected, and I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with kinesiology or applied kinesiology. This is a system that uses manual muscle testing. And so I use that as well as I use it as a communication tool. It's a very good way of engaging the client in the process and working together. And I can use muscle testing also to test and work in the energy field. It provides me with instant feedback about what's happening.
Well, let's give our listeners a little example here. For example, if a client holds up their hand and you ask them a question and then you touch their arm, if they are answering truthfully, the arm will stay solid. But okay, if it is not truth or not what their soul or body really understands to be true, it will drop rather easily, even with the merest touch. That's just a little example for people to catch on to how it might work for them.
Yes.
And it's very important. And you also talk about checking out the dominant eye or awakened eye. And I was in, years ago, a mystery type of school where we practiced this, where we were asked to look at the left eye because it can sometimes show past life interests, and there is a shift in energy often, and the person who is gazing into the eye is able to gather some information about the other person that they might not offer by speaking.
I've heard of that before, but as a kinesiologist, we have a particular interest in, you know, brain hemisphere activity and dominance, and it's something I check for in all my clients because it will affect how they feel and operate in the world. And I noticed that my mother's left eye became dominant when she had Alzheimer's, but, you know, she had been right-handed and right eye dominant before. I'm left-handed and left eye dominant and left leg dominant. I'm all dominant on the left side. So it's been something that's been of interest to me, because I do think not everybody agrees with me, but I think that when people have Alzheimer's, the left hemisphere of the brain, which controls the right side of the body, that involves small chunk processing small chunks of information sequentially. That doesn't work so well. But I think that the right hemisphere, which controls the left eye and the left hand, I think that that continues to work well. And that's the more intuitive aspect of the brain that sort of hears patterns and senses things differently. So
yes, one is the more feminine or nurturing creative side, and one is the male dominated and logical or goal oriented side. Men work mostly on their left side and women work on both sides, back and forth. That's why they multitask. So it's very interesting that you noticed that her eye became left dominant, because that would be a way of her awakening to her more soul-oriented and past life experiences. And I think that's what she was sharing with you in many different ways, and people will see that in the book. So let us go on to, what are some things that you have discovered in working with healing on all levels, as you talked about before, mind, body, and spirit, that surprised you?
I think if I stick with the Alzheimer's, what surprised me was what I discovered after my mother had passed over. I was doing some research, and I discovered that there were researchers at the University of California, San Francisco Memory and Aging Center who had found that as cognition decreases in people with Alzheimer's, empathy increases. And the more cognition decreases, the more empathy increases. And I thought that's really interesting, because often when people reach the stage with Alzheimer's where they can't remember what they've just said, it's assumed that they're not connecting with anything. And it seems that that is far from the truth.
Well, it's not the truth, because what they are connecting with is their inner wisdom and soul, which is their true essence. They're letting go of the physical world to discover more about who they are. And yes. I'd like to tell you a little story very briefly. One day I had a young woman come to me. She was going off to college, and she was very anxious about it. And when I was doing Reiki on her, I heard a song, a childhood lullaby, and I asked her what that meant. And she said, she started to cry actually, she said that was the song her grandmother had sung to her, and that her grandmother had Alzheimer's and she could no longer respond to anyone in the family, and it hurt her mother, who was a nurse also, and they were tremendously hurt, wounded to see her slip away. And I said, but she's not gone anywhere. She's sending you this message of love through me energetically. Yeah. And while she lies in a bed far away, she has sent this to you to let you know she is still the same loving grandmother she was then and who she will be when she passes from this world. So yeah. I just wanted to share that, because I think that's what's happening. The empathy and the compassion and the love for God and spirit and universe and life is growing through this disease. And perhaps that's why there's more of it now, because the world needs so much more understanding for the people who take care of those who go through this.
Yes.
So what is the gift? What for you is the gift? We're calling the book The Gift of Alzheimer's. What is the gift?
Well, there were a number of gifts, things that my mother said. She said, love is what it is. She said, the stillness of deep love, I can't find words to describe it. That's a transcendental state to be able to experience that. She said, we're learning we're immortal. and death is nothing to be afraid of, and that love never dies. So I think for me, it was the power of love, and realizing that despite all the problems we'd had in the past, it's never too late to heal the past.
Absolutely not. And I think she also gave you the gift of life, eternal,
she
everlasting,
did.
Infinite. I mean, what greater gift is there than to know the truth of who we are? And how wonderful life will be here and beyond here, and the pure wonder and awe, again, that we have as children, but very often lose throughout our bits and pieces of it throughout our lifetime. Like Alzheimer's takes bits and pieces away of the brain, so life takes away pieces and bits of the soul, and we can retrieve them with these moments of love and caring. And that is a great gift, a great, great gift. Now, you give some quotes from your mother. She had some wonderful quotes. What's a quote you'd like them to take away?
Love never dies.
Okay.
I'd say that before, but I think that's the one that stands out. That's the one that keeps coming back to me. And I just see it in life everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as a healer and medium, I truly believe that life never dies. We are eternal souls. And that love, every experience we have, we don't have to judge as good or bad. It's just an experience for us to grow more into our inner wisdom and soul being. And I think the whole experience has brought you that. I hear it in your voice. I hear it in the tone and sound and what you have expressed that happened over the course of caring for your mother, father, and loving your sister who had her own challenges. So I thank you very much for that caring. And I want to thank you, Margaret Latourelle, author of The Gift of Alzheimer's, for sharing your amazing journey with your mother as your souls and hearts connected through the last stages of her illness and through time and space, love and the gift of life eternal to understand the two worlds and more that are universal in nature. To purchase this book, go to thegiftofalzheimers.com. In summarizing today's show, we have discovered that often illness or challenge may be an opportunity to dig deep within our reservoirs of compassion and love and remember the infinite beings living a dual nature as both physical and energy or soul. Positivity, patience, and deep affection for her mother enabled Maggie Latourelle to record many of her mother's new amazing understandings of her feelings and offered ways to express them with hope and love and a new view, perhaps, of her eternal soul nature and the other world. In conclusion, Maggie wrote, "It is our emotions, our feelings that give meaning to our lives, and this is no different for people with Alzheimer's. Although their physical body and parts of their brain are deteriorating, their emotions live on. This means people with Alzheimer's can stay connected to others and to the world through feelings right to the end of their lives." Maggie and I, as healthcare professionals, would have you remember there are many ways to ensure the care of those suffering and to make them feel safe. Be fully present with them. Love and respect them. Provide opportunities for them to enjoy their day and creatively, and to express their feelings. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the field of science, medicine, education, and the arts share ways for our understanding of our human nature and ways to evolve and grow. Shows are also heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.